So when trying to bring children to Krishna consciousness, we may provide them some stimuli, but children may not have the intelligence or the intention to practice bhakti. So without that, how can they come to bhakti? Yeah, ultimately it is the decision of every soul whether they want to serve Krishna or not. And that is a decision which usually people take, children take when they grow up. Maybe they come to the teens or they go into adolescence or just come to youth. At the time they may, before that, they are to some extent, their life is monitored and largely guided by their parents. So now the parents and devotees, their responsibility is to provide as many stimuli for the children as possible. So in general, we can only do three things for other people, anyone whom we are trying to train or guide. We can provide knowledge, we can create facilities, and we can set example. Knowledge, facilities, example. These are three basic things we can do for others. After doing these, then it's up to people whether they want to take it up or not. So whether it is, say, devotee children and devotee parents trying to give the stimuli, or whether we are going to schools and children are not devotees, parents are also not devotees, but we are trying to give some stimuli. We can see how we can do these things. And if we have done these things, we have done our part. And we needn't have a very narrow definition of preaching. Now, if we think of preaching only in terms of making people into maybe 1600 devotees who follow 4 eight principles and come for morning program or come for this or that, whatever. No, that is a very narrow definition. That is definitely a definition of serious devotee. But rather than seeing the preaching as, you know, there is one cutoff point. Those who are brought inside the cutoff point, they are devotees. Those who are outside the cutoff point, they are non-devotees. Rather than seeing it like that, we can see the sharing of Krishna consciousness as expansions of concentric circles of increasing radii. So for example, if some people will become very serious devotees, but some people, even if they become favorable to the practice of bhakti, whereas earlier they would have been neutral or unfavorable, that is also one level of preaching. So Ravindra Swarup Prabhu has written an essay of how congregation preaching developed in our movement's history. Now congregation preaching, you know, going every week to congregation's house for program. That's such a standard thing that you think, you know, what is there to think about it? But initially, when the movement started, the idea of becoming a devotee in America was that you join the temple. No, you become a devotee means you move inside the temple. Even if somebody is married, they move inside the temple and that is, you're a devotee. So what they observed was that when many of the hippies or people who were spiritual seekers in the Western world, they became Srila Prabhupada's very dedicated followers. But then when the Indians started coming to America, most of the Indians had gone to America for material prosperity and they had no intention of joining the temple. But still, they wanted to have something to practice their culture. So initially, the devotees who were preaching, they tried to preach to these Indians to join the temple, and the Indians are not at all interested. And they thought that the Indians are not going to become devotees. So they started neglecting them. But then they found that although they were paying no attention to these Indians, every Sunday they would keep coming. And they were regular. And they were helping. They were initially, when our movement was having a lot of money through book distribution, we were not so worried about money. But afterwards, the Indians were the main patrons for the movement. So at this point, you know, if the temple devotees had been asked, are these Indians Hare Krishnas? They said, no, they're not Hare Krishnas. They don't stay in the temple. But if the Indians had been asked, you know, which religious group do you identify with? They would say Hare Krishna. So that means we don't consider them to be devotees, but they consider them, yes, we are devotees. Not necessarily our definition. But over a period of time, what happened is, these are our people. They keep coming. They keep contributing. They keep serving. So they may not conform to a particular definition of bhakti of moving into the temple, but they are practicing bhakti in their own way and they are committed at their level of practice. So that was the idea that people can stay at their homes and they will practice bhakti. And we should provide facilities to enable them to practice bhakti at their home. That means conduct programs at their houses or close to their houses. So that's how actually congregation preaching started. Before that, the idea was, if you are inside the temple, if you are living in the temple, you are a devotee. If you are living outside the temple, you are gone to Maya. That's a simple definition. The transcendental was reduced to the geographical. So, that we shouldn't have that conception of bhakti. that only if a person is a 16-rounder devotee, then that person, our preaching is successful. Preaching can happen at various levels. And if we can help people to become more receptive towards Krishna, more favorable towards Krishna, even if they don't become devotees immediately, but they become favorable, that is also one level of preaching. See, when we have that agenda of conversion, you know, we use conversion normally for Christians who convert Indians, but you know, often we also have that agenda, you know, you should become an insider. When we have that agenda of conversion, then when we often have a adversarial attitude with the world. The world is bad and devotees are good, and they have to come from the bad material world in the devotee community. But we understand that this is a very narrow vision. In the world, there is Sattvaguna, there is Rajoguna, there is Tamoguna. And Sattvic people may not become devotees, but in many ways they may be favorable to the practice of bhakti. They may provide facilities for us. So if unnecessarily we antagonize them, you know, anybody who is not a devotee is a demon. Well, there are people in Sattvaguna who may be more Sattvic than what we are. Isn't it? We cannot call them demons. So the thing is that we have to have these, our philosophy itself has these colors or shades of gray. So when we talk about providing Uddipan to so children, when they provide samskaras in the childhood, they may not necessarily intend to take a bhakti, or they may not take a bhakti at that time. But those samskaras will stay with them. And eventually, that will at least keep them favorable to bhakti. In some cases, later on when they experience the reality of material world, they see how all the much glamorized pleasures, there's not really much in that, then they will come to Krishna at that time. So what we can do is provide them positive impressions, positive samskaras, and then it's up to them to choose. And we shouldn't worry about whether they are going to choose or not. We should focus on whether we are giving the best possible stimuli to them or not. If we are giving the best possible stimuli doesn't necessarily mean the most forceful stimuli. You know, because forceful can sometimes be alienating. Best means where people feel, yes, this Krishna bhakti, this bhakti makes sense. These devotees are nice people. I would like to be with them. I would like to be doing this. So, George Harrison in his book, Chant Hare Krishna, Be Happy, there's an interview. So, George Harrison, initially, he, you know, after he started practicing, met Prabhupada, he started practicing bhakti, and he started making all his songs that he was composing were spiritual songs. But then, you know, so at one time he was in Madison Avenue and he was expected to do a musical performance, and then he started telling the audience, chant Hare Krishna. And the audience started booing him and jeering him. And you know, it was all the critics started panning him, and his whole popularity started catapulting down. And then at that time, you know, to understand what it would be like, say there is a very important India-Pakistan match, say the top cricketer in the world, say Virat Kohli becomes a devotee. And then there is a very important India-Pakistan cricket match, say World Cup final. And Virat Kohli just gets out to zero, and then after that India loses the match. And then after that there is a press conference. And Virat Kohli at that time says, you know, cricket is all temporary, it's maya, just chant Hare Krishna. Now we cannot imagine the amount of anti-preaching that will happen by that. Now, if a person is paid to be a cricketer, that person has to take cricket seriously. So that's what happened. George Harrison, instead of, you know, providing people the entertainment that they were expecting, he started preaching over there. And then he met Srila Prabhupada, and then he told Prabhupada, you told me to make songs about Krishna, and I'm doing that, but I'm feeling that for every one person I'm getting to Krishna, I'm sending 10 people away from Krishna. So what should I do? So Prabhupada told him, no, use your intelligence. Use your intelligence and conduct yourself in such a way that people will be attracted towards Krishna. So after that, you know, he stopped making all songs devotional. He started making the other kind of songs which he was doing. And within that, maybe one song he would make devotional, or in some other songs he would bring in something devotional. So he started doing it a little bit more toned down. And then he said that, so people started thinking that, you know, for him the Hare Krishna was a phase in his life. He was involved with the Hare Krishnas, but now he's not involved. So in that book he writes, like, I was a plain clothes devotee. Plain clothes devotee means I never wash dhoti kurta, but in plain clothes he has a devotional intention. So he said that, you know, if I have to be counted at the end of my life, whether I want to be counted among the materialistic people or I want to be counted among devotees, I want to be counted among the devotees. That's what is the values that I aspire for. So people who get the impressions, you know, even if they are not able to externally act on them immediately, the values remain. if we have presented it properly, non-fanatically to them. So we don't have to worry too much about whether people take up things or not. We focus on whether we are presenting things properly or not. And people will take up in their due course of time. We see even with Srila Prabhupada, the potent pure devotee, Mahabhagavat, still for 40 years in India, people didn't take up. So is that a failure of Prabhupada? No, it is a part of Krishna's plan. And the very example, the fact that Prabhupada himself in India was not successful, externally speaking, indicates that we shouldn't define success only in terms of, we shouldn't make preaching success as a statement about preacher's purity. Now, if somebody wanted to say Prabhupada was not successful for 40 years, therefore Prabhupada was not a pure devotee. Somebody could say like that. No, but after 10 years he got so much success afterwards. So we should focus simply on doing our own efforts. And some preachers will be successful at some time, some preachers will be successful at other times. So we don't have to bother too much about it. We focus on trying to provide people Krishna in as accessible and appealing a way as possible. And it's up to people to take it up according to their time. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki. Yeah.